The first reading is from Isaiah 42, beginning in the 16th verse. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do and forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at the 12th verse. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel according to John. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Well, if you haven't figured it out already, today's message is going to be about friendship. And a few weeks ago, I have a dear friend, and it's kind of interesting. We don't see each other a lot, but every few months, one of us will call the other one. And so Andy called me, said, "Let's have a cup of coffee." And when he came in, he gave me a CD. And the CD was recorded in 1972. And it was Aretha Franklin, in a church over two nights. And they brought in choirs and just an incredible worship moment. And both of the CDs were on there. And when I was putting the CD and I was trying to make it hurry up, I hit a button and the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," came on. It's been a long time since I've heard that song. I was actually saved in a Baptist church. And if you go to a Baptist church, you'll hear that about once a month. But in most churches, it comes up every now and then. But the more that I listen to it, the more the Lord just put on my heart this song and the words of this song. So I wanted to briefly tell you a little bit about the fellow that wrote this song. His name was Joseph Scriven. And he wrote this beloved poem that turned into a beloved hymn. And he was an Irishman, and he was known first and foremost for his kindness. And I want to read this because I want to make sure I say it exactly right. And what he did, his ministry of kindness, was he cut wood by hand, because this was a long time ago, for the financially destitute and the physically handicapped. Went to college and established himself as a very, very great teacher, and fell in love with a young lady. And the day before their wedding, she drowned. So, overcome with grief, he decided to move from Ireland to Canada, and he spent time there in Canada teaching, and he fell in love with another lady named Eliza Rice. And just a few weeks before their wedding, she became very sick and literally the next day died. So you can imagine he was shattered, to say the least. But as he tells the story, he turned to his faith. And after much prayer, took a vow of poverty. And again, he only wanted to serve the less fortunate. And that's what he did. And 10 years later, after this, he received word from his mother, or that his mother was critically ill, but he didn't have the funds to go and be with her, and subsequently she died. And so, as a heartbroken lover of Jesus, he wrote this hymn, and this hymn was his life's story. And when someone asked him after it was put to music and this became such a beloved hymn, said, how did you come up with this? He said, "The Lord and I together wrote this song." That's really kind of says it all, doesn't it, on how the Lord takes care of us and how the Lord looks after us. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come today to your word, Lord, I just pray that we would have hearts to hear, Lord. I pray that every word that I speak would come from you. I pray that you would move in this place. I pray that your Holy Spirit would attend to this entire service, and at this moment, to these words that are spoken that come out of your Holy Scriptures. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friendship is a word we hear quite often. And a couple questions I wanted to ask you. You don't have to answer out loud, but when you hear the word friendship, first of all, what do you think of? But more importantly, who do you think of when you hear the word friend? I want to give you a definition that comes kind of out of the several dictionaries. Companion, confidant, someone who knows you better than you know yourself. Someone you trust. Someone who is allowed to speak into your life when it hurts to hear their words. Someone who never wavers, whether good times or bad, are always there. Someone who cares when we are not even worth caring for. As I read these, after I typed them in, some pretty high standards, whether I'm the friend receiving the love or the friend giving the love. But in our gospel reading today, we hear Jesus and he's with his disciples. And chapter 15 are really some of Jesus' departing words. This is very close to Jesus' death. So he's got his disciples around him and he's still teaching. He started in the beginning teaching and he's about to leave them, but he's still teaching and instructing them. So I want to read that gospel reading one more time to you. And I just want you to listen to how Jesus uses this word love. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way I loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. What I want to do, I want to kind of hit quickly 5 points. That sounds Baptist too, I know, but that's okay. We won't be here. I'll get you to Cracker Barrel on time, so don't worry about it. And here are the 5 points. Who is a friend of Jesus? Number two, you love others in the same way he loves you. Number three, you follow his commands. Number four, you do everything the Father has told him. And number five, you will go and produce. Well, you can't be a friend of Jesus if you don't know Jesus. And Jesus is in this room with his disciples. And it's a ragged bunch, as you know. You've heard the stories. I mean, there are thieves, there are tax collectors, there's murderers, there's all kind of people in this room. But they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they recognized who he was, and they believed who he was. And so he's in this room with these special 12 people that he calls friend. And really, you know, the beginning of any friendship with Jesus is first, you have to trust in Jesus. You have to acknowledge who Jesus is. You also have to know why he came, because he came for a special purpose for you and for me. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. 1 John 4:9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. You see, God took on flesh as Jesus and came and lived in our neighborhood. That's how much he loved us. It's also how much he wanted to be back in fellowship with us. And Jesus lived with us, and he loved us, and he cares for us. He lived a perfect life, a life that nobody else in history has lived or will live. He died for our imperfection. That's why Jesus came. So to be able to join friendship with Jesus, first and foremost, you've got to know Jesus. And you've got to want to know him more. Number two, love each other in the same way I loved you. Well, if you read any scriptures, especially the book of John is one of them where there's a lot going on where he is teaching. In chapter 12, there are 42 verses of Jesus instructing and teaching and loving and carrying on these 12 men that were called to follow him. And if you go look at chapter 10 and read through it, it's exactly how you ought to act, what you ought to do, what you ought to do in this situation, what you ought to do in this situation. But here, we've got three words that are followed right after he says, I command you to love each other. That doesn't take a lot of instruction. It takes a lot of action, but he says to them, love each other. And I believe he said that because that is a key component to being his friend. You have to love other people and care for other people. And whatever their situation is and whoever they are, that you love them, you embrace them. I can also tell you that Jesus, he doesn't go around giving out report cards measured by God and by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. The first thing you have to do is love others. That'll star you up as a success. That is how you're being measured. How are you loving me like I loved you? That's what he's saying. Jesus loved and loves his followers. We are followers. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are exactly like one of the men that was in that room when Jesus said, I want to give you guys a few more instructions, but I want you to love each other. And I want you to love each other the way I love you, which we cannot do. It's impossible because Jesus is the perfect lover. And he couldn't be anything else but that, but every time that we love somebody in the right way, we are honoring our relationship and our friendship with Jesus. Jesus promotes unity and loyalty not division and unfaithfulness. If you see that, it's not of Jesus. If you do that, it's not what people need to see. He trusts his followers. Even though we're going to stumble, we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to disappoint, he still trusts us because he knows that we're doing the best we can. And we are in perfection, and he's not. His followers obey him in humility versus self-promotion. One of the greatest words I think are in the Holy Scriptures is the word humility. You know, I study leadership a lot. The greatest leaders the world has ever known are really pretty humble people because they care about others. They give others credit. They want to do for others. If you're standing on a street corner promoting yourself, you're probably not going to have a big crowd line up behind you. But why was he such a great leader? Well, leaders are measured by followers. And look at the world today. How many hundreds of millions of Christians are around the world today? His humility was one of those things, not his self-promotion. Think about how he lived. Think about what he did. Think about how he came to earth. We're going to celebrate that in a few weeks. He was born in a manger. He didn't come riding in on a white horse. He was born in the lowest of lows. But I will tell you this, and I think he says this in here, love each other the way I've loved you. To this day, that scripture ought to speak to us. And I don't know about you, but I am about worn out of this country and this world on how people are treating each other and how people are talking about each other. To the point, I've turned it off. I mean, I don't do Facebook. I don't do news. I don't do anything. I just can't stand it anymore. But I can tell you this, if you love each other in the way Jesus loves you, we can change this world. And we'll do it one at a time. I remember going down a country road one time with a friend, and so I'm not beating up on the Baptists. I love them, by the front, you know, and they change it every week. And the sign said, "We are saving the world one person at a time." I can get my head around that. Now, if I've got to save Horry County by next Thursday, I'm a little nervous about that. But if I can be a friend and love one person that's not even worth being loved, I think I can help Jesus do what he sent me here to do, called me to do, and what he was sent here to do, and that's change this world. Not talk about it, not dream about it, not listen to music about it, but literally going out and doing it. Number three, his friends follow his commands. Being a friend of Jesus requires obedience. I can tell you this because I don't know about you, but if I get up tomorrow morning and I don't think about being in a relationship with God, I'm going to head off on bunny trails that aren't where I'm supposed to be. It just is. You can call it a discipline, but it is an obedience. It is get up and spend time in the Word, pray, turn on some music, things that remind you of who Jesus is and why did he come. But I don't know about you, but I tell you, when I hear the word command, I can tell you, I initially think negative. If somebody's commanding me to do something, you know, order, tell you, direct you, require you. But let me ask you this. What if the "I command you" comes from the most loving person that's ever lived? What if the "I command you" came from a person that you knew was going to die for something you did? How would you listen to it? And you couldn't stop it. There's nothing you could do to stop it. What if that death leads you to living an eternal life with that person? You see, I could make the case, and this is another message for another time, whether you go to the Ten Commandments or you go to the commandments of Jesus, I don't think they're negative. I think those Those were incredible words of grace and peace. But, you know, when we hear the Ten Commandments, we hear, well, maybe that's God catching me doing all these things. No, it's not. He gave them to us so we would be like him, which is impossible, but at least it gives us a template to go by. When Jesus says, I command you, he's doing what the Father told him to do. And he's going, be like me and go share being like me. And As I thought about that, I don't ever remember or think now that any I command you from Jesus is a negative term. I think it's a loving term, a grace term. And as friends of Jesus Christ, and we're followers of his, if we live by these commands, don't walk around and say, I'm living by the commands, but live. You're going to have people come up to you and go, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. I'll tell you what it is. It's called Christ-like. You're living as Christ would like for you to live. You're loving like Christ would like for you to love. Number four, he will tell his friends everything the Father told him. And this is what Jesus said. I've told you everything that the Father has told me. And I love this. I love this, and I'll tell you why. Because if you've got a dear friend that you can really be you, be real, as a friend of mine that passed away a number of years ago said, let's just be real, Skip. Let's have lunch and be real. Charlie could be real. I wasn't that real in the beginning, I can tell you. I mean, it's hard for me to sit across the table from anybody, and especially another man, and be real. I mean, you know, men, you know I'm talking to you too. Ladies, y'all can do this, but men, I have to know you for about 9 years before I'll even tell you my shoe size. So, but Charlie pulled that out of me. He did. Charlie had a terrible life and then an amazing life. But I'll tell you this, Charlie never kept a secret. If you were going to sit down with him, he wouldn't even say, I don't want you to tell anybody this. You kind of knew, but you were going to hear things that you were just going to hear what his life was about and what was going on in his life. He kept no secrets, and Jesus is the same way. Why? Because the Father is telling him, son, go do this. Go tell these people this. Go show these people this. And so what Jesus was doing was mirroring exactly what the Father asked him to do. He wasn't only God's agent. He was and is God in human flesh. Everything God instructed him to do and everything God told him, he shared with his friends. John 5:19-20. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's a Trinity sermon. That's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's three in one. And so whatever God instructed Jesus to do, he couldn't say, what about this? No, he had to do it. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven. Now listen to this. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus was sent by God. And he was a messenger. And he was God. And in being God, but being fully human as well, he knew the depth of God's love. And that's what he did. He loved people. He cared for people. And I don't mean the people that, you know, society thought were good people. Well, the prostitute. The woman has been married 5 times, the murderers, the tax collectors. Again, he put his arms around all of them. And that's the hard thing for us to do. That's the thing that it's easy to be friends with the right people. It's easy to be seen with the right people. But what about the people that you go, well, I don't think I'm going to go over there. They need you to go over there. That will change this world, that we go out and be like Jesus. And again, in doing so, whatever the Father told him, he's telling us, and he's showing us. And we need to live into that. Number five, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Now here we find another word that kind of falls in that command bucket. You know, when he says, I command you, now he says go. And you know what's coming. That's the old church witness sermon. You know, you need to go out and you need to do this. Well, John 15:16, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And then in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you, and be sure of with you, even to the end of the age. To hear God's word and go and produce, you don't have to be well trained. You don't have to know what to say. You don't even have to know what to do. Because if God's Son told his Son, tell them this, I will be with you always, I promise you, he will. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. How hard is it to care about someone? Not preach to them. You don't even need to bring up God. He'll take care of that. He does the heavy lifting. It's us stepping out and caring for people in a way they've not seen before. There's nothing you can do to stop me from caring about you. That's what's trying to be conveyed here. That's what Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples to do. Because when he leaves, they become his agents. And you see how the circle works. Now, you've come in and you've accepted Jesus Christ. Now, when you walk out that door today, what are you going to do to carry on the work that he has called us to do? And it can be helping someone in need. It can be finding a cashier that shares that something tragic happened in their lives. I mean, it's all around us. And we can be those agents. But this word go is not difficult. It's really an honor. It's an honor that Jesus, as our friend, has said, hey, friend, this is what I did. This is what I'd like for you to do. And he says that he will always be with us. So in listening to the songs that say, what a friend we have in Jesus, or there are other songs that use the term friend, that's where we are. But I wanted to close today with a personal story. And I'm glad Thad's not here, because Thad says don't talk about yourself when you preach. But he ain't here, and I'm talking about myself. So, and you can tell him, because, I mean, what's he going to do, fire me? He's going to be gone another week, and he'll need me, so don't worry about it. But he's right, I mean, you know. In the last year, a dear friend of mine and I fell out over something. Just call it a disagreement. And just in the last, probably about a month ago, we bumped into each other. And I can tell you that I know he was saddened that we fell out. I was saddened that we fell out, but we're men again, you know. I ain't going to say, I'm sorry, I don't care. It's all his fault. He's saying the same thing. And I can tell you, it was both our faults. But one day we happened to meet. I mean, just bumped into each other. And I want to tell you, if I get emotional, don't worry about it. If you hadn't seen me, I'm Jimmy Swaggart Jr. So, but in a split second, we were reconciling with each other. I mean, that fast. I mean, just, we had this broken relationship. We hadn't seen each other. I know we've been thinking about each other. And then that fast, we were together. The tension was gone. We forgave each other. We said it. We asked for forgiveness, both of us. And then kind of at the end, when it was all kind of going, I said, well, then what were we upset about? You asked for forgiveness, and I asked for forgiveness. Somebody must have wronged both of us. I don't know. What happened in this thing? I mean, it was kind of that comical, yet that powerful. And later, after we kind of hugged and made up and back to where we have been and should have been, it's funny. We both said that we were hoping for an opportunity to reconcile with each other, to mend this brokenness in our relationship. And I said, well, you know, I said, I was hoping for that. I was dreading seeing you if I did, but I was hoping to see you. And he said the same thing. And I think God just said, all right, okay, I'm through with this, guys. I mean, I'm done with y'all. I'll fix this, and y'all do the right thing when it's time to do it. And that's exactly what happened. So I want to say this. If you've got a broken relationship in your family, if you got a friend that you've fallen out with, it ain't as hard as it is to mend it. And you might bump into him. So go ahead and start praying now that when I bump into him or her or whomever it is, I'm just going to be ready to say, I'm sorry. Even if 100% of it was their fault, say, I'm sorry. And God will take care of the rest of it. I promise you, he will. And that's what he wants. And I could say to you almost that this works with people you don't even know. If you just went up to somebody and say, I'm sorry you're in the situation you're in, what can I do to help you? You know, if that Baptist church can save the world one soul at a time, we can certainly change this world into a friendly world one friend at a time. We just got to go do it. We just have to go do it. But I will say this, in this personal situation of mine, that loving someone always includes forgiving someone or even asking for forgiveness. It always will. And be willing to do it. In Matthew 5, 23, 24, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice. Matthew 6, 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. I think God's in the forgiveness business. I really do. Colossians that we heard read earlier, since God chose you to be holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Now listen to this. This is like putting on your shoes and socks and your shirt and your trousers tomorrow morning. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I mean, what if we turned on TV and that's all we saw? I don't know you, but I'd be happy. I know it'd be boring, but I'd be happy if I saw people that were tenderhearted and merciful, that were kind to each other, that were humble, that were gentle to each other and were patient with each other. And then it goes on to write, make allowance for each other's faults. In other words, give me a break. Give them a break. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And I can tell you, it'll change their life just like it changes yours. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And I'm going to close with this. And what happened with me and my friend, there was reconciliation, okay? We stumbled across it. We bumped into each other, and the Lord took over. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're friends with Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, and you take those five verses in John and read them and what Jesus says when he says, you are my friends, you're going to find that Jesus is the great reconciler. That's what he came to earth for. If he came to earth to reconcile us back to God because we were broken in our fellowship, broken in our communion, if he did that and then he died for us, and there wasn't a thing we could do about it, because God said, I love you so much, whether you accept my son or not, he's still going to die for you. Now think about that for a minute. But that death, that life, and that resurrection, it was one purpose only. It was because the Father loved us. So if Jesus was the great reconciler, what is to stop us from being reconcilers in each other's lives and living that way? So I just ask you to remember this and this only. Love each other in the same way I loved you. Signed, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come today in this screwed up, crazy world. But Lord, it's not something that can't be fixed. And we can start with each other. We can start with our friends. We can start with people we don't know. But Lord, I just pray that at least the people in this room, that we might leave here today with a purpose to love other people in simple ways, in wonderful ways, in merciful ways. But Lord, that we might go out of here and love however you would have us do it. And in doing so, that we would bring glory to your name, we would honor you, and most of all, that we would be true friends of Jesus. And all this we pray in his name. Amen.